This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our worship today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's program will be given at the close of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday for worship with us.
Are you suffering from boredom? If you are, Jesus has a good word for you, and we're going to talk about it in the sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you're our Savior, that you're our friend, that you're anxious to lift our spirits when sometimes they are very low. Lord, we pray that each one who listens today may know that they can turn to you for comfort and strength. And if there be one who does not know you, come, Holy Spirit, and work through the means of grace, your blessed word, to assure them of your love and to let them know that in Christ we can be reconciled to our Father forever. Hear our prayer that we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Rise up, O men of God, have done with lesser things. Give heart and soul and mind and strength to serve the King of Kings. Rise up, O men,
rise up.
Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the 21st chapter of the Gospel of St. John. Afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the son of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them. And they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat. But that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you'll find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and he jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." Here ends a reading of God's holy word. Friends in Christ, we are emotional people. We think and we feel. And often our emotional thoughts are a lot stronger than our rational thoughts. Our emotions are really never 100% stable. Sometimes they are high and other times they are low, all depending upon what is happening in our lives. If you are a golf fan, did you watch the President's Club tournament about a month ago? This is a prestigious golf tournament which some of the best American golfers play in, and they have an international team which is made up of equally talented golfers. The Americans had won only one of the last President's Cups. So when Chris DiMacco, an American, rolled in a winning putt on the 18th hole, he shouted out, "We needed this cup." Tiger Woods and David Timms rushed to bear hug DiMacco, and the gallery burst into screams. This is an emotional high. As the Americans celebrated, the international players got on their planes and started home, pondering the question, how could we have won that tournament? At that time, without a doubt, their emotions were pretty low. They probably had one thought. Let's get out of here. We have had enough of these emotional Americans for a few days. Just give us a little time to heal, and we'll be back, because we love to play golf in the good old USA. Our emotions pretty much tell us, don't they, how we are feeling at a given time. Well, those are the emotions that come from the sports page. And now let's take a look at the emotions that come from the Bible. The disciples displayed many emotions after Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection. One of them was boredom. They had been long, long days, and before they ended, there had been 50 of them. John gives us an insight into their bewilderment. He was sitting on the island of Patmos in exile. Never a day went by but what John recalled in great detail, those troubled days, those days between Easter and Pentecost. They didn't know what to do with themselves. They were in the waiting stage. It was a time of boredom, and they were experiencing it real good. They had gone back to Galilee, where Jesus had appeared to them several times. But on this particular day, Peter was especially low. He had to do something, so the apostles said, "I'm going to go fishing." With this statement, six of the others said, "We'll go with you." This response was pleasing to Peter, and he said to his brother Andrew, "Do you remember where we stored that fishing boat, the smaller one? But it'll hold all of us who are going." Andrew said, "I can put my hands on it right now." So he took two or three of the other disciples, and off they went and got the fishing boat out of storage, and they went out to have some fun. They figured that that would take their minds off from their problems, at least for one day. Now, they fished all night, and they caught nothing. This didn't help their spirits, and one of them complained with a depressed voice, "We don't even know how to fish anymore." But when they were close to shore, about 100 yards away, the scriptures say, which is the length of a football field, in case you don't know, a man shouted, "Throw your nets on the other side of the boat, and you will find some." When they did this, they were able to haul in a large number of fish. Now, who was that man? And John said to his friend Peter, "You know, John, it's the Lord. I see him. I see his features. It's the Lord." Now, watch the display of emotional behavior. Hearing that it was the Lord, Peter wrapped an outer garment around him, and he jumped into the water. As usual, the other disciples followed Peter. He was their leader. When they got close to shore with the fish, they saw a fire burning, and it was time for breakfast, and Jesus said, "Come, sit down and eat." While they were eating, Jesus singled out Peter and asked him 3 times. You've heard this often. "Peter, do you love me?" And each time, Peter said, "You know, Lord, that I love you." And Jesus said, "Peter, if you do, I want you to know that I love you too. And you go and feed my sheep." With these words, their boredom was gone. Jesus could well have said, "On this very spot, about 3 years ago, I called you to be my disciples. My exact words were, 'Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.' And that day you left your nets and you followed me." Now these years, 3 of them, in fact, have passed and my work has been completed. I have suffered and I have died for the sins of the world. God raised me from the grave, assuring that if anybody would accept my sacrifice for their sins, I would forgive them. God would forgive them. And they would be restored into fellowship with their Heavenly Father for now and for all eternity. He assured us then that we did not earn our way into a living relationship with God. It was a gift, and it came by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. "It is this message," Jesus said, "that I now give to you in a package. You share it with all people. You tell them that I'm alive, that I want to live in their hearts, that I want to turn their life around, that I want them to know that they can live and face all the difficulties of life, and I will be with them." There's a world to be contacted with this message. And Jesus said to them, "There is no time for boredom or bewilderment if you're mine. You know what your calling is. Get on with it. Feed my sheep." And I tell you, there was an emotional high in the camp that night. They didn't have any fish caught by themselves, but they had 153 that the Lord saw that they got. But more than that great big catch of fish, they had been redeemed. They had been brought again into the living presence of God. And they were told what to do. Not to sit around. Not to just be sorry for yourself. But as long as there is one person who is hurting in this world, they need to feel and hear the love of God that comes through faith in Jesus Christ. Friend, it is to the Christians of every generation, and ours certainly is included, that Jesus throws out the cure for boredom. He says it, "If you take my calling seriously, there is no room for boredom, no room at all. You Christians live among a bewildered people, and they have lost their way. I charge you, go and tell them about the good life that they can have not necessarily an easy life, but the good life that they can have in knowing you. And you'll be so busy, and you'll be on such an emotional high when you see that life changed. Oh, there will be some that will say no, and those can be some emotional times too, in desperation, but you keep right on going. For if one doesn't want it, then another one does. And that was a pattern of our Lord Jesus Christ. Boredom and bewilderment. I don't know if you call them emotions or not, but I'm going to, and if you'll let me use that word, okay. I know what that is. From childhood to old age, we are afflicted with boredom and bewilderment. At least some of us are. I remember as a child lying on the couch, and my mother would say, "What's the matter with you?" And I'd say, "Oh, nothing. I guess I'm just bored." I was feeling sorry for myself. There was nothing to do. I had no brothers or sisters, and the other kids in the neighborhood were doing something else, I guess. There was no one to offer me entertainment, so I was kind of moping around, 10 years of age. Well, I tell you, it didn't take my mother long to cure my boredom. She said, "There's a lawn to be mowed. There are strawberries to be picked." And she had 101 other things in mind. And pretty soon I was off that couch, and I was busy with something that took my boredom away. But that didn't stop when I was a kid, and I don't think probably it did when you were a kid. I went off to college. I had the privilege of living in a dormitory. I know that many students don't care to live in a dormitory today, but I found that a big part of my education. And it was noisy there sometimes, hard to study, had to run to the library. But boy, was it fun to be there. And there was always something exciting going on. When I came home from college on a vacation, it was quiet around the house. Quite different from a noisy dormitory. But now, at 18, 19, I didn't have to tell my mother that I was bored. She could read it like a book. And she said to me, "Why don't you do something nice? Why don't you go down and see our old neighbor, Mrs. Murray? She used to spend a lot of time with you when you were a little boy. She gave you a hermit cookie, the best cookies in the world. And just sit and talk with her." I went down and I visited with the old lady, and we had a marvelous time. I got outside of myself, and the boredom was gone. Well, then I grew up and I was ordained. And once in a while, I would complain to my wife about my work. That work, I said, can get sometimes very boredom. Write another sermon. Counsel another person. Visit some of the members of the congregation, and they have to be visited if you want to be their pastor. My wife took about so much of it, and she said, "How exciting do you think it is to wash diapers? How exciting do you think it is to iron your white shirts or vacuum the rugs?" I heard her, but I didn't understand until 10 years ago when she had a stroke and the household duties became mine. There isn't much thrill for me to make a king-size bed. I'm not thrilled when I have to go to the grocery store and try to find some of those products that are hidden away, and there isn't a clerk around to help you. I'm not really even thrilled to make a meatloaf. Life is filled with routine, and sometimes it's the routine that makes us extremely bored. Life is somewhat routine for all of us. the surgeon, the attorney, the teacher, the farmer. They have their days of routine, which lead to boredom for them, perhaps. Probably don't think of it that way. Oh, I got to go and take out a gallbladder. What a boring job it is. I've never heard that said, but I'm sure for many surgeons who have taken out hundreds of them, that's true. But it is in these rather depressing times that Jesus says to us, friends, I have a ministry for you to perform. Dad, I have a ministry for you to perform. When you've seen the last client, when it's too dark to do any more work in the field, when the last child has gone home from school, why don't you begin to tie up your work and go home to your family and be a Christian father and a husband? Gather your family for a good devotional time. Let your children see how much you love them. Tell them that you'll always be with them. And your son, Bob, help him. He's depressed too. Let him know that you haven't separated yourself from him. You'll always be there to help, even if he doesn't have the athletic ability of the neighbor boy down the street. Now I'm 81 years old. That's old. As I have told you before, my wife and I have the privilege of living in a beautiful retirement center. I believe we are happy, a happy crowd there, but every so often I'll hear someone say, I'm bored. You can watch about so much television, read so many books, play so much bridge or golf, and then what do? Jesus, standing by the bank, says, there's one of my children who would be thrilled to have lunch with you. Why don't you arrange that luncheon? And while the two of you are having a good visit, don't forget to talk about your best friend, Jesus. Don't forget to tell him that he suffered and died for them and that he can make all things new. Don't forget to tell him that in Jesus Christ, he is theirs forever. Oh, it's fun to have these emotional highs. I don't blame the American golfers for jumping and shouting and bear hugging. But now it is a month ago since the President's Golf Tournament, and I would imagine the emotions have quieted to some degree. Who can lift you in these times of boredom? Jesus Christ. But first you have to know him. Do you know him? Is he yours? Empowered by the Holy Spirit, do you receive him anew every day? Then he has a mission for you, which will erase all boredom. Tell somebody else about Jesus Christ. Amen.
To God in prayer.
And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray your heart has been touched by the grace of God that is ours in Christ Jesus our Lord. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry dependent upon the gifts from you, our listeners. Your gifts enable Christian Crusaders to broadcast the gospel of Jesus Christ across the United States on 16 radio stations, to Europe on shortwave, and globally on the internet. October is calendar month at Christian Crusaders. We would like to send you a free 2006 calendar while quantities last. This nature calendar features beautiful four-color portraits of spectacular scenes in the United States with a different Bible verse for each month. To receive your free calendar, just call or write our office. We will need your name, mailing address, and the call letters of the station where you hear this program. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon are also available free of charge. However, a gift of $2.50 will cover production and mailing costs. Send your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Waterloo Cedar Falls, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Conducting our worship today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, radio pastor of Christian Crusaders, now in its 70th year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.